eminent speakers on the dais, and also Bangaloreans who have come here to understand the mindset of Tipu Jayanti. So far we have been discussing the history. Today we are moving beyond that to understand the mindset. This is something like understanding the psycho-political analysis of why this is being celebrated, why this man is being glorified. While introduce me as a social political activist. Yes, I am a political activist, but not belonging to any party. So I don't have any allegiance to any political party, neither I am bound by any political discipline of any political party. I am here to speak the truth and nothing but truth. Neither I am here to give any ammunition to Sambit Patra. But the issue is such, he is bound to get some advantage. So before making this analysis, telling a bit of history is also required, because I have been telling my history, my ancestors' history for 2 years now, since 2015. Many of you have already learned about this fact, but there are still things to be told. Samitji referred to primary source. He referred to writers. For me, what is the primary source? What my grandmother told me, what she heard from her grandmother, is the direct source. And there become 6 generations, my grandmother's grandmother, and she lived during the time of Tipu, it's hardly 200 years now. So that's a direct information. No other source is required for me to believe this. And I have come from a place, the outskirts of Mangalore city, a village called Aikala. There's a church in that village. I was born there, I grew up there and still living there. And in front of the church there is a school run by the church. I studied there. When I was in 4th standard, the social lesson said, Tipu Sultan was a great man. He used to give milk and biscuits to the prisoners. So the lesson I learned. At the same time, just opposite to our church is there, we celebrate annual festival day every last Wednesday of November. We have the annual festival of that church. And during that time, we honored 3 Bhat families of neighboring 3 villages, Aikala, Elinja, and Talipadu. Guttus we call. Guttu means they are the village heads. Not 3 persons, not even 3 families, 3 village heads. We honored them with 1 banana bunch to each family. And that honor is for saving our church from Tipu Sultan. Even now we do it. Last year we did it. We are also able to do this. This is a fact in front of me. What my grandmother tells is very similar to what we are practicing, but the textbooks say something different. Very, very different. Exactly opposite. As I grew, there was a movie called Sword of Tipu Sultan, again glorifying that event. So what is this? There was a confusion. What I read, what I see is different. What I hear is different. Then there was, see how it moves on. Then there was a BJP government in 2008 in Karnataka. One of the higher education ministers commented, one comment he made, Tipu Sultan was anti-Kannada. That's all. It caught fire. It went on so much that he had to withdraw his statement and ask for pardon. Probably this incident encouraged Siddaramayyaji to celebrate his birthday. Because that was the day when that minister had to withdraw his statement, nobody stood by him. So he must have encouraged by this. So I said my church was attacked and it was saved by Hindu families. There was another church near Modubidri which was saved by Jains. Other 225 churches nobody could save, they were razed to the ground. Right from Sumkeri of Karwar up to Bangalore, there were 27 churches. All of them were attacked and he managed to destroy 25 of them. They destroyed to such an extent that couldn't even make out where the church stood. People were taken to Srirangapatnam. After attacking the churches, they were taken to Srirangapatnam and they were released only after his death, after 15 years. When they returned back, In some places, he couldn't even identify where the church stood. The best example is one historian, late A.L.P. D'Souza, himself told me, narrated a story. One church was destroyed while rebuilding, they couldn't identify, so they built two churches in two different places. Now, two churches in the same name stands, that is the proof that to that extent was destroyed. Now, there is a mosque at the hilltop in Mangalore, the Bautagudi is a famous place. There stands a mosque today, and it was written there, built by Tipu Sultan. I have seen that board, now it has disappeared. But the fact, history says that it was built with the stones of Milagris Church. Milagris Church was destroyed, and with those stones that mosque is built, and mosque is still there. Though Milagris Church is rebuilt now with some other stones. And the foremost church, cathedral we call, Rosary Cathedral was destroyed, and Sultan Batthiri was built. And Sultan Batthiri is standing in front of us today. So these are facts. This is what he did to the symbols. Symbols of religion. What about the human beings? The historians say the figure V. V means the history calls us as Kendra Christian. Now presently we are known as Mangalorean Christian. But when history was written, we were known as Kendra Christian because from Karwar to Mangalore, Britishers called it as a Kendra region. North Kendra and South Kendra. Today we call it Uttara Kannada and Dakshina Kannada. So Kannada Christians, Konkani speaking, Konkani as mother tongue. So this group is identified as Kannada Christians. And we have a history of 500 years in this coastal Karnataka. Earlier we migrated from Goa. So for the 500 years, past 500 years we reside there. And the biggest enemy in these 500 years is Tipu Sultan. No single person has done us the damage that this man did in the past 500 years. He arrested all 80,000 population what existed those days after raising the churches. He took them captives and made them walk to Srirangapatnam. It took about 6 weeks, even that is recorded, 6 weeks it took to reach Srirangapatnam. And by the time they reached Srirangapatnam, 20,000 people have lost their life. Let's walk on the journey. He did not even spare women, children, elderly, even the pregnant women were not spared. They were made to walk and some of them got delivered on the way. That is also written. The young babies, by not withstanding the strain, they died on the way and they were buried on the wayside. This is also recorded. So to that extent, the brutality was. There are two places pertinent I have to mention here. One is Netherkere, one is Gadai Kallu at Beltangadi. Netherkere is a place in between Beltangadi and Mangalore. In one place, in that single place, he killed about 5,000 people. There was some problem. Some soldiers attempted on the women and the young boys resisted. So there was a fight. 5,000 people died in one place. The entire area became red. There is a pond nearby. The entire pond became red. And since then it is known as Netherkere, the pool of blood. Even today it is named, known by that name. The other place is Gadai Kallu. The youths who could fight and create trouble to the army were taken on the mount and pushed down the hill. There were tigers and lions. They could eat them. So there was another place of genocide. Apart from this, throughout the way, while on the walk, many people died, 20,000 people lost their life. They were taken to as captives. Only after his death in 1799, May 4th, they got released. While going back, while releasing, only 15 to 20,000 people could return. That means 3/4 of the whole generation was destroyed. 3/4. There is no other history parallel to this in Christian history of India. And why we survived today, why I am here today? Because he died. He died an untimely death. Had he lived for another 5-10 years, probably Kendra Christian would have done in one sentence in history. Such a generation existed once upon a time. If I stand here today, May 4th, 1799 is, so I call it, it's a great day for me. Whoever has done it, has done a good job. This is a brief history, I can go on, but today's topic is something else, mindset. Okay, now, I said, so many people of ours are killed. I have been telling this for the 2 years in the open media, have written articles about it. Not that our community do not know it. Every person in our community knows it. As I told you, my grandmother told me, everybody's grandmother has told them. So every person is aware. Every person is aware of the brutality of Tipu Sultan. Then why they are not talking? It's a big question now. It's not that we are a voiceless community. Our number may be very small. Our clout is very big. Persons of our community are Oscar Fernandez. He's a great man in the Congress High Command. If he says one word, Siddaramaiah, I wouldn't dare to celebrate this. And why is he not opening his mouth? Why is he not talking? J.R. Lobo is an MLA from Bangalore. He is not talking. Ivan D'Souza is an MLC from Bangalore. He is not talking. It's not that he doesn't know to speak. Ivan D'Souza knows to speak. And last year he has spoken on an issue. At Shirwa Church, one statue was broken. This man reached there and gave ultimatum to the police. Within 48 hours, you have to arrest the person. It's going to be otherwise a communal clash because the statue is broken. But police luckily arrested the man within 24 hours. And he found to be a Christian. He was a drunkard. His problem was he was praying daily before the statue and he couldn't get what he prayed. So he got an idea, let him replace the statues. So this statue there and this statue there. While replacing the statue, one of the statues fell down and broke. That's all that happened. So this man reaches there and gives an ultimatum to the police. He arrests the person. But he is silent today. The biggest destroyer of church in the history. He is celebrated. Ivan D'Souza is not talking. And J.R. Lobo is a candidate from Bangalore City South. And that constituency is reserved for Christians by Congress. So, for the Christian reserved seat, he has won and not talking for the Christians. What is stopping him from talking? Why Oscar Fernandez is not talking? It's a great mystery. Do they do not know to speak or they are simply not talking? I would rather call it the conspiracy of silence. There is very much to read from this. There is a conspiracy to be silent. Now the one more class, this is the class of politicians I spoke about. Mostly whenever there is an attack on us Christians, who speaks first is our clergy. They are supposed to be our leaders. There are bishops, there are padre. They talk on behalf of the community and they claim to be the representatives. In this issue, they may say it is a political issue. Yes, it is a political issue to some extent. So it is not that they don't talk on political issues. You have seen a number of cases they talk on political issues. A party called AAP won in Delhi assembly elections. And Bishop came down to the street to celebrate. That was the political issue he shouldn't have done. This is maybe a political issue, but he have to speak. But he's not talking. And from Kerala Christians, how many bishops are there? There are bishops all over India. Most of the bishops in Karnataka are Kerala Christians, or Mangalorean Christians. Bengaluru bishop is a Mangalorean. Gulbarga bishop is a Mangalorean. Ballara bishop is a Mangalorean. Belagavi bishop is a Mangalorean. Shivamogga bishop is a Mangalorean. Karwar bishop is a native Kerala Christian. Udupi bishop is a native. Mangalore bishop is a native. They don't speak a single word. What about all over India? The Calcutta bishop is a Mangalorean. The former Delhi bishop is a Mangalorean. Patna bishop is a Mangalorean. Bareilly bishop is a Mangalorean. I can name any number. Don't they speak on any other issues? They speak. We heard the Calcutta bishop speaking other day, about a year or 1.5 years back. The so-called rape of a 72-year-old nun. He was very vocal then. But he is silent today. Why is he silent? Again, I understand it's a conspiracy of silence. So people ask me, you must be telling something wrong. Your facts must be wrong. When they don't speak, there may not be truth in that. No, there is truth in what I say. But there is a conspiracy of silence. So I want to question through this forum today, the conspiracy of silence, why don't they speak? There must be something more than that. Okay, our community was attacked. Historians say, why was our community attacked? There is a dividing opinion among the historians. Some say Christians were the informers of British. Some historians do not believe that. Rather, seeing the present political scenario, I would go with the opinion probably they were informers to the British. I believe so. And who are these people? Our community, as I said, are agriculturists, basically agriculturists. Till recently, now we have gone into different fields, professions, business, etc. Till 40 years back, we were only in agriculture, nothing else. We knew nothing else other than agriculture. So we were busy in agriculture, we were not busy in politics. Only people who could do politics on our behalf is our clergy. What they might have done those days, it's clear. They must have been the informers of British. So who suffered? The entire community suffered. And what is happening today? The same thing. I have to take the name of that person probably, I think. There's a man called John Dayal. He goes to America. He goes to America and deposes that we have no religious freedom in India. Our Christians are suffering, Muslims are suffering. He gives his testimony. And when he speaks there, he speaks on behalf of the community. He speaks on behalf of me also. But I like to say from this forum, he doesn't speak for me. He is not my representative. There is a different voice here. I have not elected him. Neither I have appointed him. Nor I have given him the power of attorney to speak on behalf of him. What he speaks is purely personal. He may be representing few clergy. And clergy is not the community. That message has to go very clearly, properly. Weighted enough. The message has to go very clearly. I'd like to use this opportunity to make it very clear. Hame to jeena yaha, marna yaha, iske siwa jana kaha. We don't benefit anything. Rather, we suffer more. That's why... Time out. That's why I wanted to say we need to make an analysis. You know, rightly they kept the topic, understanding the mindset. So this is the mindset. I would want to say that I do not subscribe to this mindset of honoring the tyrants, honoring the criminals, honoring the terrorists. Yeah, Siddaramayaji, I heard him saying this time, for the third time he repeated that he is a freedom fighter. Tipu Sultan is a freedom fighter. I would like to correct him. Rather, first freedom fighter. I would like to correct him. He is first, yes, but not the freedom fighter. He is the first terrorist.
What terrorism is going on today, he is father figure to them. He taught them terrorism. You know how he did the terrorism? My community people, when they were taken captives to Srirangapatnam, there were still, on the way he killed many people, that still young people who could resist. You know how he treated them? Cut their nose and ears, and made them sit on the gada, donkey, looking at the back, looking at the tail, no, ulta, and paraded throughout the city so that others get a lesson that this will be the safe treatment will be dealt out to you. Is it not terrorism? This is a terrorism, the first kind, because there was no bombs. What is the idea of terrorism today? What is the strategy? You put a bomb somewhere, kill 10 people and terrorize 100 people. Jo mar gaya wo gaya, jo zinda bacha, uske dil mein bhai paida ho gaya. So zindagi bhar ke liye wo bhai mein jiyega. So this is the policy of terrorism, and he put it that he is a role model. How to make terrorism? He is a role model. So whatever they are celebrating today, they are celebrating as the terrorism day or the terrorist day. They want to promote terrorism, then we have terrorism. So this mindset we have to fight today. The celebration may not be there next year, probably. But this mindset will continue. Remember, this mindset will continue. This won't die that soon. It's not going to die that soon. We have to fight this mindset. And how we are going to fight this mindset? We have to learn history correctly, then tell others at the same time how they can make a movie. Talwar of Tipu Sultan, Sword of Tipu Sultan.
we have to make a movie, the terrorism Tipu Sultan. We can make 10 movies. This is the idea. How to tell the people what is truth? History you may write, people may read it, may reject it, but films people see. Whether it is real or fictitious, people will see. So this is the way out. We have to go into the idea, what they propagate, the same ideas we have to use to propagate the truth, and we have to fight this mindset. Thank you, one and all.